Okay. All right. We're good. Okay. I first want to start off and just ask, or and well, say thank you for taking the time to do this because I know everyone's really busy and I really appreciate it. This is super helpful.
Of course, very happy to.
And I really want to know your so tell me a little bit about why you agreed to be interviewed for this like specific topic.
Well, for one, it was my cousin asking for help. So of course, I'm gonna say yes. But also, it is a topic that I have also tried to address in my daily life. So I just felt like it was near and dear to my heart, and I would definitely have a strong opinion.
Yeah. So when you say that it's something that you try to address in your daily life, what are some examples of like ways that you've done that?
Well, you've already mentioned a couple. So I try to buy bulk food when I can. I find it both economical, but also I like to reduce the waste. So, and then I also have tried to eliminate, I guess, like household products, or actually, it's more my bath routine has been I've tried to eliminate plastics from that. So I don't use shampoo. I don't use conditioner. You know, I make my
Yeah.
own stuff.
Oh, you make your own.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
Do you find that the it have you tried any products that do you like the products that you create more than what you find like on the shelf?
definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I've become a bit of an evangelist, which I feel like I'm that crazy lady right now, but like I'm not lying. Like I would not recommend something that I thought was
Yeah.
not really useful. But,
Yeah.
you know, and maybe I get that like everybody's body is different. So, you know, it's true that what works for me may not work for everybody, but I definitely like the shampoo and conditioner that I have now and that I just make. I will say I did try to go and use a natural deodorant. It was not in a plastic, but it just did not work. I, you know, was bartending for a while and I just had to have the like industrial strength stuff. So I've gone
Yeah.
back to the normal.
Yeah, I've definitely been there. I tried that as well. Does not work.
No, it's not there yet.
Yeah.
So,
So it sounds like you're doing quite a bit. Like if you're like making your own shampoos and conditioners, and buying in bulk, is there anything you could like pinpoint like an action or a purchase that you're doing solely for environmental reasons? Or is it kind of like all encompassing, like it's more affordable and convenient, whatever those things might be?
So trying to think about something that's like inconvenient and expensive, but I still do it. That's a good question. Just like looking around my apartment. I don't know. I feel like on occasion I've bought things in bulk that I know are not the best quality, you know, like you feel like bulk is not always the top of the line because they, you know, they don't make a ton of money off of it. But I would do that anyways over buying new. Let me think. I'm trying to think anything that I mean, I specifically would do farmers market. you know, which wasn't always super convenient, but
right.
Just and it tends to be more expensive. But there again, I feel like I'm buying something that's healthy too.
Yeah, the quality product.
I mean, I don't know. Like, this is not related to plastic, but I did opt into the energy neutral price point or whatever for my electricity. So I have this option to pay a little bit more per month, and they claim that my energy is all from renewables.
Yeah.
Frankly, I don't know. There's no way I can prove that. I pay a little bit more, but I, you know, feel like at a minimum, if it's just signaling to them that there's interest in this, that eventually it will be more common. So.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was just thinking, like, other things that I buy, like, maybe in glass as opposed to plastic. I don't know. For a while, I was carrying around my own silverware, which is not super convenient, but I, you know, just typically just try to have my own silverware, and then maybe carry Tupperware periodically if I know I'm going to be taking home leftovers.
I know it's that's a tough thing to do. I actually just, Ben and I went out for food last night, and I brought in my own Tupperware. I am totally that crazy lady asking all the restaurants if they can put it in my own Tupperware.
I will say I do avoid Trader Joe's now because it's really wrapped in plastic, and as much as like the price is really great, and generally I like the quality, I just all the produce is wrapped in plastic, and
I know it's painful, and I really like their stuff too, which is sad.
Yeah, exactly. So.
So living in Washington, D.C., what, if you could like talk a little bit about like the current culture there that of like making purchase decisions based on environmental concerns. So, do you think it's, if you weren't like buying or if you weren't like making your own shampoo and conditioner, are there options for you to do something that's either plastic free or limits plastic, or is that kind of just like not accessible there?
No, it's totally accessible. There are a lot of options. I mean, it's not California, but it's, you know, there's definitely like a whole bunch of organic food shops, and they all have bulk, and they have bulk spices. And there's tons of markets that you can get bath and household products. And I feel like there's a whole community, probably because I'm tapped into it, if there's a lot of grads from my program here that, you know, there's just a community of people who are makers and, like, all this, like, make your own and reduce waste. And so it's very much a part of the culture that I'm in.
Nice. That's great.
Yeah.
I'm going to be talking to someone who lives in California in a couple of days. And so I was very curious to hear the East Coast, West Coast answer to that question. So maybe it's just the Midwest.
To be honest, no, honestly, I feel like it's an urban rural thing. Like,
definitely.
You know, you just don't need to have like a certain amount of concentration to be able to support these kind of higher priced goods,
right?
In a way, or specialized goods.
Yeah, definitely specialized goods for sure. So you mentioned that you make your own shampoo and conditioner, but what about like cleaning products and other bath products? How do you approach those if they're only available in plastic?
Yeah, I buy plastic, so with those, it's, you know, trying to buy the least toxic thing, mm-hmm. chemical inside the plastic mm-hmm. bottle. I do use vinegar to clean occasionally, but that also comes in a plastic bottle. So
mm-hmm.
That one I haven't been able to get away from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I minimize, like, oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
But I try to keep it to like one product. So, you know, I grew up in a home where there was like a squeeze bottle for like every possible ingredient. You know, yep. Different chemicals for like, for wood surfaces and tile and counters and carpet. And I just
mm-hmm.
use one, which, I don't know, it probably is all a wash, but I just try to minimize in general.
Yeah. Definitely. Sorry, I'm writing down some notes.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Yeah, I know. With the remodel, it definitely gets challenging, especially when, like, my dad, for instance, will be like, oh, you need a special wood cleaner for this particular product, and you need a special thing for this. And, it just gets overwhelming. There's just too many options, and they're all coming in single-use plastic.
Right.
I know. It's tough. So is there anything that you're purchasing that requires you to, like, go out of your way for it, so, like, it's less convenient than the alternative? I know you've kind of talked about this a little bit, but if there's anything else that you can think of that you might kind of go out of your way for?
I mean, some of the bulk foods I have to go out of my way. Like, not every store carries all the things. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, spices, I have to go a little bit further, and just some more specialty grains. So for some of the food, I have to make a special trip.
Mm-hmm.
To think what else, and I guess doing the farmer's market, just building that into the routine,
mm-hmm.
is a little bit out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
That might be it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, some things, like, I buy like big. So I try to buy, if I have to buy it in a bag, I get, like, the big bag, so it's not, like,
mm-hmm.
a whole bunch of individualized wrapped things.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, like, I'll just buy, like, a big bag of tea, loose leaf tea.
Sure.
Yeah.
That makes sense. I know. I see those big bags, like, of all the individual pieces in them. And Why? It's so painful.
I know. It's so miserable. It seems to be getting worse. Like, I feel
it
like
does.
I just saw, like, individually wrapped Reese's Pieces, and I was like, what's going on?
It's like one Reese's Pieces.
Literally. I mean, it was something akin to that.
Yeah. Oh, it's so sad. Convenience, I guess. Okay. So, more generally, what's your overall opinion about products being branded as, like, eco-friendly or green?
So I feel like I take it with a grain of salt. Like,
mm-hmm.
there's less. If you read the fine print, it's usually something like part of this is considered recycled by some federal government agency that,
mm-hmm.
like, it's a percent of a percent of a percent. So
right.
I feel like, still, from my perspective, it's more that I'm voting in a way that I'm saying, like, this
mm-hmm.
matters to me, and I'm gonna, like, I'm not really believing that this is where it needs to be, but I'm gonna tell you that I am willing to pay more. As long as it's green. So,
mm-hmm.
but that said, like, if I'm looking at two ostensibly same options, and
mm-hmm.
I'm saying it's green or organic or something environmental, I'll buy that one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so, like, with you had mentioned paying more for something, so that doesn't really sway your, like, if you have the choice of two things and one says it's green, and that one has more, is more expensive, you're more likely to buy that one. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, and that's
Yeah.
probably true for anything food or cleaning related. I'm sure there are some examples of things where I won't. But yeah, when it's food and like, I guess when the price is not that much more, or like it's all
Not
within a.
outrageous.
Yeah, I mean, if we're starting to talk about like hundreds of dollars between like some organic flax carpet or rug versus like a regular one, I probably can't afford it. But what of the things that I feel like I can afford, yes, I will pay more for them.
That makes sense. And then I had a question based on what something you said, and it just like left. What was it? And this is what I should have written down. Oh, are there any services that you use currently that are to help you live a more like low impact lifestyle?
Services. So like an app to track related things or No, I'm trying to think. No, I mean, I feel like I'm immersed in that stuff, so I don't. I mean, I was using an app for fish for a while that would tell me which fish. I don't buy fish very often at all, but I use this app to tell me which fish are less at risk of extinction and all
Oh, okay.
that.
Well, that's interesting.
Just to make a more ethical choice.
Sure.
I occasionally will use a list of like which foods to buy organic from a chemical perspective. There are lists out there. So use that.
Do you find those to be helpful?
I think like it's always in the back of my head, how can I, what little thing could I do? And so these are sort of ways to feel like I'm actually making a difference. And it's like very small, but I feel like I understand it's going to be very small. And so it's a way for me to feel like I'm making an informed choice that's that feels personal to me. And it's like I'm not just buying something, I'm supporting
Sure.
my identity.
Yeah. And then if you found, it sounds like you use those kind of on an as needed basis versus like or like as you think of using them, versus like it's like something consistent that you're using daily. Is that right?
No, that's totally true.
Okay.
It's all on demand. Yeah.
Demand. Okay. Well, I think you got through all of my questions. That's I think you touched on everything. It sounds like you are already like a super user. I love that you're making your own shampoo and conditioner, and I need to get those recipes from you.
It's very simple. I use
It?
flour.
Really?
Flour. Yeah. White rye flour. It's the best shampoo I've ever had. Like, it's crazy,
Really?
but it's, yeah, and that's all it is. And you just mix it with water, you make like a consistency of shampoo, and it just naturally gets the oils out without stripping your hair. Like, I sound crazy, but I swear people just need to try it and then tell me you can change your mind. And then for shampoo or for conditioner, I just do a little apple cider vinegar rinse diluted.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So,
good to know.
That's it. And you can reuse your old jars, mix up.
Love it. I will say, you did tell me one time to use Dr. Bronner's on my hair, and I tried that for like, I don't know, 3 weeks. It did not go well. My hair looked terrible. Terrible. Did not look like yours.
So, I mean, that's the thing. I do feel like people's hair differs, and definitely, like, if you did it for 3 weeks, that should be enough time to get you, like, through the kind of trial period. So yeah, I stopped using it too because I found that the water here in DC is really hard, and it was leaving like a little bit of a residue. So the flower works perfect for me. I don't have any, I feel like it strips out all that residue from the water. So I find it really great, but it's important to use white rye flour. I used regular rye flour, like the whole grain kind, and it's so hard to rinse out. You have to use the milled white rye flour, which can be a little bit hard to find, but it'll just be called white rye as opposed to whole grain rye. Honestly, it's like the best shampoo I've had. And actually, you know what, Annie, you know what, if you really are interested, I ended up buying this at like 4 a.m. and couldn't sleep. And I mistakenly purchased what I thought was a 20-pound bag, which is big already, but like the shipping on it was $15. So I was like, I'm gonna get a 20-pound bag. It was not 20 pounds, it was 20 kilos. So I have like a freezer full of white rye flour.
Oh my gosh. That's amazing. You know, you have shampoo for the rest of your life.
Literally, I have 10 years worth of shampoo in my freezer. It's crazy. I mean, I am, yeah.
That's awesome.
But no, I cannot like speak ill of this. It's like the best ever. But anyway, the Dr. Bronner's, I agree. After a while, I felt like it wasn't.
Yeah. Well, I definitely had friends in Colorado who used it too, and they told me like, "Oh, try this. You know, you can stop using all the different shampoos and stuff." And I don't know, just like, I was wondering if I didn't give it enough time or what, but yeah, it definitely it wasn't pretty. So, but I'm working from home again, and I can always turn my camera off for conference calls, so I can try something new for a little while.
Yeah, I think you have to give it at least a couple of weeks of anything new, but after that, if it still feels not right, then that's probably just not right. So.
I wonder if it was the water, though. That's a good point.
Yeah, I really think the water is hard here, so it just, like, it was just getting residue.
Yeah.
The flour strips it right out, so.
Good to know. I would never have. Did you find out like a recipe online? I would never have. Either.
No, a German told me about it.
Really? Oh, well, then it's got to be good if it comes from a German.
Right? I know, exactly.
They know the best German secret.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Cool. Yeah, I would definitely love to try it. It's been so challenging trying to, with the house under construction, like we don't have our bathrooms are both one is almost completely demoed. There's like a hole behind the toilet, so you can't like into like another bedroom, which Ben works in.
Oh no.
So it's like, there's like no privacy in the house right now. And it's just like, the bathroom is half demoed and the other bathroom is really gross. And, you know, we're going to be demoing it at some point, but, yeah, so it's been just like challenging to have all that going on and then to try to be like mindful about what we're like, you know, about like what we're purchasing and what's, you know, what's convenient versus what and affordable and something that we can do quickly. And like, I don't know, it's just, it's definitely adds a whole nother element of
trying
to do too much. Uncle David is always I think he thinks we're like doing, I think he thinks we're in a little over our heads.
Well, that's coming from somebody who's like done a lot of work on his own plate.
And he's so detail oriented and like super diligent about like every like little thing that he does. And I mean, we just can't be that way because we just like wouldn't have a house for 10 years.
Well, that's a good product lesson right there, because you have to at some point define your scope and you can't get everything you want.
Totally. Yeah.
Because you won't get it ever. It'll never be done. So
right. Yeah. Prioritize and then move on.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I like I said, I really, really appreciate you jumping on. You were my first interview I've done outside of class. So I hope it like I'm sure it I'll take a bunch of notes later on, but I got a lot of good stuff, so I really appreciate it.
You're welcome, and, you know, reach out if you have any follow-up questions or whatnot. Happy to
chat. Perfect. I will.
And good luck. It sounds like a really fun opportunity. I'm doing something sort of similar, different avenue, but I'm also looking to take a course on financial decision making as it pertains to products. So,
interesting.
Basically, like building in financial metrics into the strategy. You know, there's a lot about like, well, we think this thing is gonna, you know, customers are gonna want this. They say they want it. Da 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 da. And I want to be able to tie it to money.
Yeah, definitely. That's a whole nother beast.
Yeah, so, I just, it's, like, something I don't have any experience with, but I'm hoping that we start incorporating it.
Yeah, it does make you realize, like, how many decisions are based off of, like, decisions that cost a lot of money, time, energy, resources, like, that are, like, based on assumption a lot of time, or, like, in, you know, just based on intuition or you know, people have feelings about certain things and how they should be done. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. This company I'm working for right now, they said they've never done any sort of like user testing, and they poured a lot of money into their digital products. So, it's interesting. Yeah, the financial side would be very interesting for sure.
Yeah, we'll see.
Are you liking your role?
Yeah. I really like what I'm doing now, and I mean, it's pretty similar to what I was doing in Nat Geo, but just a different context. I really like my boss. I feel much more authority to make calls. She trusts me, and so I'm doing both a project management role for a new product that we've just launched, and then I'm fulfilling more of the product owner role for an internal authoring tool. So
nice.
So that's where I would, you know, I'm making the calls on the strategy sort of based on what I'm hearing the business wants, I've been trying to keep it very, very lean until I have proof that, you know, it's worthwhile. And, this company that I'm working with is an academic publisher. They're, you know, they're print-based and have been for years, and so they're doing this digital transformation, and it's really hard, like, to, you know, I can't expect people who have worked with print to know what they want, right? Like, they think they know and they know that they should know, but they don't. And so there's a lot of sort of trial and error, but basically, like, if we're not sure, we have to do it really cheaply. And if we can't do it cheaply, we don't do it. Like, really, like, so yeah, there's a bit of trial and error, but yeah, it's just, it's really interesting. I you know, I feel like I'm really, like, we're talking a lot about it, and I'm getting the opportunity to really actually do it. And
that's really cool.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where are you getting, you mentioned you're looking for, like, getting the proof that this is what they really need. How are you doing that?
So, you know, it is a combination of getting, like, user feedback after they use it, and also just measuring impact to our work stream. So if I can determine that the things that we use, that we authored in the tool that I've built, are, you know, 50% less likely to need a correction later on, then so I've just been tracking certain errors. To be honest, when we defined what we were trying to solve, we kept the problems really specific. Like, it wasn't like, we're going to do this faster. It was like, we're going to make sure that every matching question is 30 characters or less. You know, like, things that,
yeah,
like, and this matters because, you know, if it wasn't, we'd have to go back and correct it because it couldn't show up on mobile. They were, like, very specific instances of problems that led to things that needed to be reworked. So I used those as ways to measure, because that's a lot easier than saying, like, make it faster, because then it's, like, you can't tie it anything specifically, but
too broad.
Too broad. But, yeah, user feedback, we've been, you know, like, asking what they want. They tell us, we do a quick mock-up, and then we spend, like, a day or two just building it and then putting it right back in front of them. So we can say, okay, is this what you want? Like, is this what you were thinking? Like, there's a lot of feedback loop, to be honest. Like, we don't spend a lot of time designing. We don't spend a lot of time writing up everything they want. It's like, literally give me the top thing, and that's the one thing we're going to focus on.
Yeah, that sounds really exciting. I love that.
I really am enjoying it, so. Which is great, because I, like, love that deal, being like, I'm never doing product ever again. It turns out it's really context-based, so.
Are your users internal, or do you have to go outside for feedback?
So with the authoring tool, they're internal. With our platform, our like, integrated ebook platform, those are external. And they have been surveying. We've gotten a lot of feedback in the last couple semesters from students and instructors. Really, some of the best feedback, though, are the problems, like, not the things where you go out and ask, like, how would you like to use this, and how can we make this better? It's like, people might give you some good suggestions, but boy, are they going to give you a lot of good information if they can't do something they're trying to do. So, like, though, as much as those are, like, painful, especially for a company that used to print, and it's all of a sudden like, oh my god, this thing's messing up, what is it doing, turn it off, blah blah blah, you know, you want to be like, these are really, really, really great, like these are really great lessons, we never would have thought about this use case until it happened,
right?
And so I guess another thing that has been helpful is building in this kind of beta period. and making it very specific that we're going to throw it out there and all of its kind of unmade bed quality. And someone's going to use it and like have a totally terrible experience, but we're going to really learn from that.
You're really just like reinforcing everything we talk about in this class. Like, don't ask the user what they want because they don't know. The best feedback is going to come from like a lean process where you're going to find out what's not working very quickly.
Yeah, you're going to get a call.
Yep.
Your sales rep is going to be like freaking out. So those are the best ways. You know, we haven't done as much tracking internally that I would like to do. Like, there are ways to build features where you can track how much it's used. We just, unfortunately, like, that just wasn't part of the original spec. It's a little bit heavier to build it that way. But again, one of the things that, like, I've been tracking on our ebook platform is we launched with all of these, like, print-based feature. It was like hard to pry it from the hands of certain people. Okay, it's a digital ebook. People are not going to want to print the book. Maybe one or two, but like, so anyway, we have this PDF download feature that you can basically download a PDF of any part of the book. And it breaks all the time. I honestly don't know that anybody is using it, but I have no way of proving that because we don't track how often we download it. But it's the kind of thing that, like, now that I'm seeing that, I've been tracking how many times it's broken. And so, you know, that can start to add up. So, again, it's not like a user specifically saying, you know, this didn't work for me, but it's like you monitor the parts of the thing you build that are just messy or break all the time. Like, those are also feedback in a way.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah. And then figure out if people are actually using them if you commit the time and resources to fixing them.
I swear to God, no one's using that.
That's really funny because I built a product when I was with my old company that they were insistent on having a PDF download of all the information that came on the site and or that they input into the site, all the data. And I was like, fortunately, I'm not a back-end developer, so I did not have to build any of that. But I was just like, the pain that they went through to create that, and I'm so curious, like, how often is you? I don't know, so I'm not a part of the project anymore, but, like, I'm so curious because I just know how much of a heartache that was. Yeah.
Well, and here's the thing. Like, that the PDF kind of irks me because I feel like it's, like, the thing that people ask for when all they really want is a printable format. So PDF is, like, thing everybody knows, but to be honest, like, HTML might work, and it's a lot cheaper and a lot easier to build. So, like, you know, one of the things we've tried to do, and it's hard, is, like, when someone comes in and has, like, a very prescriptive thing they want, like, I want a PDF, like, doing sort of a 5-why and not, like, why? Trying to get down to, like, oh, we just want to be able to, like, print the thing. Okay, cool, we can do that with just a new HTML page, and we can do that, you know, in an hour, and it won't break. And and then they're like, oh, yeah, okay, cool. Like, so, yeah, so kind of questioning some of those.
Because like you said, users don't, they just don't know, and they think they know, but then it really takes a lot of questions to figure out if what they really want is something that is even useful for them.
Right.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you're doing a lot of this kind of work, or you are doing this work. You're in it. I love it.
Yeah.
I'm gonna start calling you I'd really love to, like, this is really what I want to shift into. I'm interested in on the design side of, like, the UI design, but then, like, how how do these kinds of questions inform that, those decisions? So I work with a lot of creative teams, and I feel like a lot of them are very much working off of like intuition and what looks good, like I said. Mm-hmm. And so I'd really love to be that person that can kind of like kind of work or be in the middle of that, like be in the middle of someone who's doing the getting the data and then taking that and distilling it into the creative team. So
that sounds great. And yeah, I work with a lot of product managers, which is kind of what you're describing. And if you ever want to chat with somebody, I could probably find somebody. I mean, I would be happy to talk with you too, but if you want to just like talk to a product owner elsewhere, I can put you in touch with some folks.
So because it sounds like you're doing quite a bit of work, like a product owner role, no?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so with this internal tool, my role is sort of, my title is a project analyst, but it's a role that's kind of evolved, and depending on what I'm working on, I would be either more of a, like a scrum master kind of managing role versus actually making strategic calls. So the things I do more strategic calls on are these internal products, the ones that are external, that face customers. We have an official team of product managers. The thing is, I came into this role with product managing experience from Matgeo, so I think my boss has sort of kind of plugged me into a role where I would be doing some of that.
That makes sense.
But yeah, so it's a hybrid, and frankly, I kind of like that. I like that there's always something new, and it's not just me, like, scheduling meetings and making sure people get their shit done on time.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's the
totally.
The authoring tool that I've been working on, I've been having a lot of fun with, because it has been sort of my project. But it's still kind of small and, it's internal facing. So the stakes are lower. it's certainly like, as you have products that are going to be like customer facing and the one that the ebook that I mentioned, like that one is really the first time our company has gone into that kind of market, so a lot of eyes on that. And I was, I had a product owner I was working very closely with, and but I, my role there was more managing scope and cost and process. That's really what I did with that group, is just establishing a process to get feedback. We use Agile, so just getting into a rhythm where we're breaking things down into small pieces, and we're getting feedback all the time, and there's collaboration. It's taken a while. I'll say that, but
that's great.
Yeah, so
I love that.
On one hand, and the product. Yeah, it's fun. I've been really enjoying it. And again, I feel like the context is everything. Like my boss is not a micromanager, and she's just kind of let me, have room to do that. And so
yeah,
it's been fun.
Oh, cool. That's so great. And you're still liking DC?
Yeah, it's funny. I've been here now 8 years.
Oh my gosh, it's been that long.
I know. Yeah, I moved here in 2012.
Wow.
I know. I know, which is like 8 years longer than I ever thought I'd be here. But I've gone back and forth, and I think it has a lot to do with. Work is so central to everybody's life here. It's kind of crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, when I was unemployed for a while, it was like the best way to end a conversation. Just be like, I'm out of work, I'm unemployed. And like, literally no one knew what to say to you next. yeah.
That's
but,
funny.
So I feel like now that I am enjoying my job and I'm sort of seeing different avenues I want to try, I definitely like that I can live in a smaller feeling city that still has lots of really great options. And I'm pretty happy here now.
Good.
Aside from the dating scene, which my father just sent me an article. Apparently, it's one of the worst. Like, I was like, thank you. Other than that, it's pretty good. So.
Oh. Well, if you go to Denver, apparently it's called Menver, because apparently it's like just like this mass amount of men living in the city, and I didn't see it, but apparently other people did. So.
Yeah, I've heard that about Denver.
Yeah. So if you're ever looking for a change from DC.
Yeah, no, but now I don't have my cousin Annie I can go stay with. So.
No. Oh, I do miss those mountains.
Yeah. It must be nice being with the family. And
it's definitely different than of course it's going to be different than I thought it would be, but I don't know. I mean, I lived in Denver for 8 years, so it was it's weird how quickly that goes by. We all change and our families change. And so it's just it's different than I thought, but it is nice, to have them so close, especially with Michelle had Noah. And so it's nice that I get to see him as often as I do. And Ann Arbor's a cool city. There's a lot. Ben and I keep saying we need to get out more and meet people because we both work from home. So we need to just we need to make it a point to try and find some friends here. But I guess sometime when this house is done. But we'll see.
When things get desperate, I'm sure you'll be able to find your way.
Yeah, right. We'll have to go back to school or something just for that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And is Matt still in Michigan or is he back in New York?
Oh, yeah. He moved to New York in December. So, he's got a place. He actually moved to Manhattan this time. And he's on the west side of Central Park. So he's right downtown. And I think he's enjoying it. He was actually home last weekend. And he's going to be home again this weekend for Noah's birthday. But I think he's enjoying it. We're all trying to get a read on him and where he's at and how things are going.
It's so soon though. It's I know. A month in or a couple months in.
Oh, I know.
And it's winter, so it's kind of a weird time to move back. Oh, that's cool though. Maybe I'll go up. I hardly ever get to the city. I'm such a wuss, but it really intimidates me. But if I can go and visit people, it's much more strategic that way.
Oh yeah, he would love to have you. Yeah. And I really want to go too, because he his neighborhood just sounds awesome, and he's just kind of in the heart of everything right now. And he's talking about how when this lease is up, he already wants to move to Jersey. And I'm like, oh, no, don't do it. When I go to New York, I want to be in New York.
Yeah, don't move to Jersey. Don't be one of those people.
Yeah, right?
But I'm sure it's expensive.
I'm sure.
Town or whatever.
That's
cool. Maybe I'll reach out and see how he's doing.
Yeah. Are you going to San Antonio?
No, I can't make it this year.
Oh, that's a bummer.
I know. I was really hoping to fit it in. I don't have a lot of time off.
Mm-hmm.
It's the one part of this job that just really is frustrating is I don't accrue much time off until I'm there for 5 years.
Oh, okay.
Who is it up somewhere for 5 years now? I feel this doesn't happen, but and I've got we've got a work summit the same week. And
I don't think
it fully overlaps, but it's like enough overlapping.
Yeah. Like, no, that's tough.
Make this work.
Yeah. Well, and I really don't blame you for not wanting to use your vacation, your precious vacation time to listen to that house. Michelle and I are already like bracing for it. Oh no.
Yeah. You know, it made me think like eventually, like when we're all kind of settled and, you know, don't have like renovation going on and moving and whatever, like it would be really cool to do our own little cousin reunion. I literally would go anywhere if it was just all y'all, like
I lost you. Did I lose you?
Can you hear me? Hello?
Elizabeth, I think I lost you.
Uh-oh.
You still there?
I can hear you.